This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm here today with Jim Helou, Vice President, DLT Solutions. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing great, John. How are you today?
DLT has been around since 91, not a new kid in the block. Some of my listeners may be familiar with you, some aren't. Let's talk a little bit first about DLT Solutions, what kind of services it can provide for the government. Maybe talk about your background, and then we'll dive into the topic for today.
Certainly. So we're your traditional government VAR, and we have a philosophy where we try to serve the government by building partnerships with Tier 1 software vendors. So if you look at our line card, you look at Oracle, Symantec, Red Hat, Arcabus, Autodesk, and Google. So these are some folks that really are name brands, not only commercial world, but government as well.
So you have a four or five vendors that you really focus in and get to know real well, so you can do an analysis of a business problem and pull out whatever tools needed.
That's correct. And the nice thing is the vendors like that because we're not competing their line card. So when we go in and we know everything there is about Autodesk, so we can really sit with the government and understand their specific needs and look at all the various tools that an Autodesk or a Google may have and try to fit together a solution that best fits their needs.
And Jim, how long have you been with the company and why did you wind up working there?
Been there 6 years and software background ever since I got out of school. And when I looked at the D.C. area, working in a premier software organization serving the government and community really was appealing to me, staying on top of some of the latest trends and technologies and looking at the government, who's a pretty big customer. They've got big budgets and really look forward to getting into that and having a lot of fun with it.
Many of my listeners are federal program managers. They're responsible for all kinds of stuff, everything from VOIP to managing a database.
Mm-hmm.
And you can manage that database and have it secure and still spend a lot of time just pulling up information from it. I mean, you can try to pull up information and make it graphical, like with business intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull up information that's incorrect. And there's a lot of new tools that have come to the market in the last few years that will assist in that endeavor. But to take a look at this whole concept of databases and searches, there's been a recent study that's been done that's looked at my listeners and said, well, geez, how do you guys work? Where are your frustrations? Where are your pain points? Let's see what's going on. Tell us about this study.
Well, it's interesting. We commissioned this study, and it tied in because I had a meeting just before the study came out, and this is a gentleman from one of the Fed Civ agencies, and he says, Jim, my problem is I've got tons and tons of data, but I can't find the information. So that's interesting. Tell me more. He goes, well, I've got databases all over the country sitting in various data centers, but when I have to go sit in front of Congress to answer questions and I'm looking for those three or four bits of information, I'm having a hard time finding the information in that mountain of data. So shortly after that, we commissioned Meritalk to come do a study and talk to about 300 of the federal users saying, folks, what's it like when you're looking for information? What are some of the challenges you have? Can you get at what you need when you need it? And the information we got back was not surprising, but when you start adding numbers to it and starting to look at the cost of it, that's where the shock value really came in.
So if one of my listeners wants to download this, they can go to dsanddogdlt.com and get this report, or you can Google Meritalk, M as in Mary, M-E-R-I-T-A-L-K. Google that. Here we go. Google that one.
Nice plug.
And stumble on it and download it. And I was at your website this morning, and I looked at these tons of awards. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff just in the last year that you guys have been awarded. Maybe it's lucky, maybe it's skill, maybe it's identifying problems. And I think maybe this is a problem. Search is a problem for everybody. And just writ large, if you look at the United States and the world, this whole concept of search is changing. It's changing from just a generic search on trying to find a place to buy tires for your car, mm-hmm. to, well, let's take that concept of search and put it in large enterprise.
Certainly.
And so, okay, now we have large enterprise, we'll always distribute databases. How can we take that search concept and apply it to a larger organization? And I think that's what the next step in the study, if the study shows that there's a problem with search, then, well, what's the solutions? And what in the world can DLT do to solve the problem?
Yeah, good point. So people have taken the word Google and turned it into a verb.
Sure.
So when you're home at night and you're looking for something, what do? You Google it. And in the study, we got a couple of interesting quotes from some of these end users who said, gosh, I wish I had the ability to search for my documents in my agency the same way I search for tires or things when I'm at home looking in the public internet. That solution is available. Google's put together a device, a network appliance that can sit inside the firewall within an agency that allows these end users to use a tool that they're familiar with, an interface that they're familiar with that can crawl the various databases. There's lots of different security settings so you can keep people out of places you don't want them to be, and it serves them up sub-second response time to the documents that they're looking for.
So this will go to on-premise applications, document management tools, databases,
mm-hmm.
Web servers, intranets, files, all kinds of the nooks and crannies that a large organization has.
Lots of places. I mean, you mentioned documents and emails. It can even get into the geospatial realm of things. So if you want to start looking for maps, and so there's really no limits to what you can search for and serve up. It's a matter of where you want to point this tool and how you want to control it.
What I've had people on the air, and I've asked them about hardware, and they say, oh, I'm platform agnostic. And that's just a great phrase. I love saying platform agnostic or hardware agnostic. But the recent press release from Google shows that this appliance not only can search their own Google apps, but it can search stuff like SharePoint 2010.
Certainly.
So, well, is that being platform agnostic? Well, it may be a pretty much textbook definition of that, huh?
It's a great point. If you look at the actual device itself, what they've done is taken the technology and the algorithms and tuned a piece of hardware that can get racked and stacked in the data centers for the end users. So it's a tool and it's a capability that really doesn't care what it's searching. So they use the term spiders. So these little spiders go out there in the public internet, and how Google works in the public world, and crawls all the various websites, grabs this information, indexes, stores it in their data centers. Same concept, same algorithms, and a piece of hardware that's tuned to do that sitting inside your firewall. So it really doesn't care if it's SharePoint. It doesn't care if it's a Word document. It doesn't care if it's an Excel document. It's looking for information, indexing it, and letting it get at it quicker.
So what it can do is it can operate within your firewall and use whatever security rules you happen to select for it.
That's correct. So from a secure standpoint, some people are like, wait a minute, what about payroll data? What about all of my top secret data? You know what? Yeah, you don't want that to be searchable. So lock that down, and that won't be a problem. You can use all of the things that you have in place from a security standpoint today to limit people as to where they can get to.
If you look at a broad perspective of technology over the last 20 years, you see lots of companies have popped up and tried to become search vendors and have failed. Some of them have popped up and maybe co-opted other companies. And right here in 2010, we see two big dogs. One is Google, and that's the biggest dog of them all. And now we see a small company called Microsoft trying to buy their way into this market share and moving in. And I think many of our listeners are looking at the marketplace and just, what should I look at? Why should I look at Google? What advantages do they have? What disadvantages? How does this Microsoft search device fit in my plans? I think we'll take a quick break and maybe talk a little bit more about the competitive landscape here and a look about the market dominance of Google and see if they can transform that for my listeners' benefit. Make sense, Jim?
Sounds great.
Good. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Jim Helou, Vice President, DLT Solutions.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Today, we're speaking with Jim Helou, Vice President of DLT Solutions, and we're talking about search. I'm searching my notes, and before the break, we talked about choices and options. Now, my listeners are federal IT program managers. A lot of them have frustrations with all kinds of things. They may be frustrated with search and retrieving things from search. So give them some options. Give me some. What can these folks do? What can they do if they have a frustration with search? For example, the study shows that 87% of them spend time searching internal databases. It's not all going to be fast, is it?
No, not at all. One thing they can do right out of the gate that really doesn't cost anything is start to relook at the standards. And make sure that the folks that are within their departments, within their agencies, are following the standards to save documents under a naming convention that is consistent and putting them in the places where they belong. And that's just not a one-and-done type of situation. You want to revisit that to make sure people are doing the basics. the basics will carry us enough. You know, it'll get things started, but it's not going to fix the problem. If you look at the study and you look at the data, that's not going to systemically fix everything that's out there. So you have to start looking at technology. So when you get to technology, you can either build it yourself or start looking at some commercial off-the-shelf type solutions. Building it yourself, I would say, is probably not the best investment long-term. Can you save money up front? You might be able to. But what happens when the operating systems of all these different things that you're using change?
You know, I know companies that instead of buying a content management system, they'll build their own, which I think is crazy. It's like building your own internal combustion engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You can do it. It's crazy talk.
Yeah.
So you can build it yourself, but let's get real.
Yeah. So the long term, you're not going to be able to. You may save money in the front end, but long term, you're not going to be able to support that. And it's not really going to be scalable. And it's not going to be able to communicate with other agencies. So you really are at that point looking at commercial tools. Google clearly has a tool that's out there. It's being deployed in the commercial world. Government starting to adopt it. There are other solutions out there. There's some niche players. You mentioned a little company called Microsoft. They're out there as well. I think competition is good in this arena, as in most. It's going to push each of the vendors to develop and stay on top of investments and making sure that they're doing what they can to retain and grow market share.
So you have to look at the Google. I think you really have to look at the Google appliance, and you have to maybe throw Microsoft in the mix and give it some consideration before you have any time a long-term change. I want to change gears here. So we talked about searching for tires, okay? So you may go to the internet and search for tires and find your Michelins and beat up some local vendor and get a good deal on them.
Mm-hmm.
But suppose you want to go beyond, you know, physical, tangible things. Well, what kind of new developments are there in the world of search? I mean, what can this appliance actually help people do besides find a pair of tires for the car?
Well, the interesting thing was with data is when you start searching for multiple aspects of data, so you're looking for some historical documents on an individual, and then you start mapping those to, all right, let's take those documents and then compare them. So you're searching for data points, and then with that information, now bringing it together to make some intelligent decisions. I mean, recently in the news, we saw an individual who wanted to do some bad things on the metro. Well, what if you had the ability to start inspecting this individual's buying patterns? Where did he live? What did he buy? And you start getting these little bits of information. When you look at them independently, it may not tell you much. But when you start putting them together, the puzzle starts to really start painting a picture. And that's where it becomes interesting, where it's not just a single data element. You're looking at multiple data elements. Maybe you're fusing in some geospatial information. And at that point, now you've got something that's valuable. You get back to what that individual said from the FedCiv world. Jim, I've got lots of data, but I need information. Information typically isn't just one data element. It's multiple. That's what really tells the story.
So is that what a semantic search is?
Semantic search? I'm not familiar.
I've been trying to do some research on search, and I think that is one way to look at associations and concepts going beyond just basic search.
Okay.
When I was prepping for the show, I did some statistics on Google. 65% of the search market, Bing has about 11%, and there's a search place in China called Baidu, B-A-I-D-U, that is in that area as well. I mean, 5 or 6 years ago, no one would have even dreamt of this much competition in the whole market space. 5 or 6 years ago, there were a lot of InfoSeek was out there. I remember trying to encourage me to use InfoSeek instead of 4 or 5 different ones that I used. There's a guy with a little hat on. I remember him distinctly.
Sure.
So we got a lot of choices in the area of search. What kind of criteria do you think my typical listener should use in trying to evaluate a search tool?
Well, the first thing they need to do is take a look at their agency's needs. What type of data do they have? Do they have SharePoint files? What are the database structures that they have? And they should actually bring in some of these technologies to see how do they perform in their environment. I think competition is a good thing. Not every solution is a good fit for every agency, and you need to be able to ensure that the results that you're looking for, you're going to achieve. If you're going to make an investment, let's make sure you're going to get the results you're looking for.
And also one thing that just dawned on me, perhaps we have listeners who may want to work remote once a week. So if you're in your office, you may have no problem with a search, but if you're working remotely, you may have problems then. I mean, that is one on the bucket list for looking for a search engine, isn't it?
Excellent point. I know my situation, when I work from home, it's a little more difficult, right? And it's difficult for a reason. We want to have better security. You don't want to have your firewalls opened up so everybody can come in and have access. So you've got VPN, you've got firewalls, you've got different cryptology keys and things of that nature, but that makes search harder. And when you look at the teleworking initiative and a lot of the things that the state, local, and feds are trying to do to save money and allow people to work from home, you have to make the information as easily accessible from home as it is from the office. Otherwise, you're losing productivity.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about search and database search. maybe talk about retention rules. And every year you have these retention rules. That's all more to search. So I think this is even a more impetus to take a look at maximizing and improving the way you search existing databases. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim Helou, Vice President at Diaz & Dog DLT Solutions.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim Helou, Vice President of Diaz & Dog DLT Solutions, if you want to Google it. All kinds of solutions at DLT.com, everything from Oracle to Google Search Appliance. Let's talk about Google Search this morning just a little bit. Earlier in the show, we talked about searching for tires. Then we kind of make a transition into searching for just more than tires. If you are an agency and you're looking at different options for search and you're thinking about this, thinking for that, you can call the folks at DLT and say, hey, let me test drive this for a while and just see if it works. And it's a good way to put your little toe in the pool before you jump in, huh?
It's a great way to start things out. I mean, we want to make sure that this is a fit and that it'll get the return on investment that the agencies are looking for. So we've got the ability to let these folks rack and stack these things, point to a couple of databases, establish some search criteria, do some measurements, and make sure it's a fit for their agency before they make that investment.
Find out if it, in fact, does speed up search.
Yes.
Or make search more accurate. When you are searching for gifts for your wife for a birthday, or if you're searching for airfares, I was searching for airfares this morning. I mean, pretty simple. I know an airfare from LAX to IAD. You can plug it in and order it for Christmas, theoretically. So that's pretty simple. But there are some things that are more abstract, more difficult to define when it comes to search. And I think there are agencies who are listening that maybe searching for tires. I mean, the post office has to search for tires. Sure. Army has to search for tires. But there are other things to search for behind tires. We touched on it earlier. Tell us more about these expanded capabilities of search.
Yeah, so when you mention airfare, that's a one-dimensional search. You're looking for one thing. You
Easy.
Go find it. Hey, that's a great deal. I'm going to buy it. Now, you're looking for tires. You find the tires one-dimensional. When the agencies are searching, many times it's not just that one-dimensional search. It's a multi-dimensional search. They're looking for, again, information, not just data points. So they want to be able to go out there and start grabbing information, fusing it together, perhaps a geospatial data, and analyzing it. So all of a sudden, you've got a map, you've got data points, and that starts to tell a story. That's really the end goal. It's not about finding a document. They've got a mission that they're looking to accomplish, and their mission isn't finding a document. It's solving a problem.
Department of Interior may want to have information on the oil spill, and they may want to have geographic information to put on their website. I mean, if I say, hey, Jim, go out and find me some information on how fast is that spreading, and I want to show it graphically or visually in order to tell the story. So are you telling the story, or are you looking for an expanded search? Well, that using expanded search to tell the story.
Yeah, so you look at folks like GOI, so they can get you very quick imagery, high resolution, half meter. So that's a picture. Great. A picture is nice, but I want other information. Get me some weather buoys. Which way is the wind blowing? Give me some information from the shore from some people there who can actually spot the slick and see which way it's moving. So you get a picture, you start putting data points on it, then you can make decisions. Where do I want to deploy my team to put the booms to protect the shore?
Because increasingly, the Obama administration is knocking on the door of agencies to present information in a graphical format. You know, benefits.gov just popped up. Benefits, it's a big map. It's a big picture. It's a graphical depiction of information. And this is all kind of fusing together, isn't it? I mean,
yep.
You have to be able to search for that information to present it graphically, but you have to have the tools to be able to do that search.
Yep, that's a great site. Another one is taking a look at the ARRA funds when you look at recovery.org. It's a map, and then you start clicking on the individual map points, and it gets you the specific data about the project itself, how much money, who's doing it, and what status it's in. That's powerful.
I can give you a little Excel spreadsheet and show you. What do you think of this? And people can go right to sleep. And I'm saying, hey, look at this map. Oh, you're from Omaha? Well, here, what about Omaha? How much money is Omaha getting? And that's what Obama's pushing for. And you know what? That's what I want to see if I was living in Omaha.
Certainly. You want to see it quickly. You don't want to have to go search a database and go find a map and figure out, all right, who's doing the work. People aren't going to do that. And that's not an efficient way to do things. But if you can put it together, that's power.
And who cares about Texas? I care about Omaha. Or, I mean, I mean that's just really, it's a human being. And I think if humans want to get more information, Obama wants the citizens to be connected with information and that the government can provide them. Well, they're not going to go search databases. They're not going to search Excel spreadsheets for how much information went to Omaha. But a graphical depiction of information derived from maybe geographic search or a search that includes beyond text.
Correct. Yeah, it's not just about the words. It's taking all the information that's available and presenting it in a way that tells the story. Geospatial images are powerful stuff. I mean, Sputnik went up and everybody's really excited about this fuzzy little picture. Okay, that's great. It's a fuzzy little picture. Today, can you get half meter resolution or better? Sure, but it's still a picture. You need more than just that picture. I mean, if you're taking a look at take a look at the warfighter. You've got a picture of a scene of a village. Okay, that's great. Now you can see the roads and everything. But what if you had the ability to know 2 weeks ago there was an IED in this place and who's living in this building? Who owns that building? Then you've got more than just a picture. You've got something you can use.
DLT.com has got a white paper on that, on geospatial search, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does.
Yeah, I was reading it this morning. You got a white paper on database management systems, which is what we started talking about. We started talking about managing databases. Then we morphed into, wait, databases can include geographic information. We wound up with a picture of the United States. I mean, databases, you know, kind of boring. I mean, you know, I'm all for databases, but it puts you to sleep.
A lot of data in there, and nothing against the Oracle guys. You know, databases aren't really exciting. It's what's in them that's exciting. And you have to be able to get at what's in them to be able to accomplish what you're looking to do.
At the end of the show here, just a quick comment on Microsoft, and they're merging with this little place called Yahoo, and they seem to be realizing that they have to catch up. But small part of the market, and where do you see them heading in the next few years?
It's interesting to follow. I mean, Carol Bartz went over there a few years ago. She came from Autodesk. I'm familiar with what she went there to do, and it was a good move. They're trying to build some things together that they couldn't quickly get on their own. They're playing catch-up against Google. You know, good competition's good. I mean, it's going to be interesting to follow how Microsoft develops search, and I think they're going to give Google a little bit of a push. And together, you know, those should establish a good mix of folks for the government to take a look at to see who best meets their needs.
If you got to get tires for your car, you got Jim's on one side of the street, John's on the other side of the street. Guess what? I'm going to benefit because they're going to go probably product for product and price for price.
Yep.
And the result would be the end user, being a federal program manager, has to benefit from this competition.
Good for the customers. It's really, as a customer myself, I like to shop things around, and the federal customer should do the same.
We've had a discussion on search and the federal government, and I'd like to thank my guest, Jim, for being in here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest again, Jim Hillouf, Vice President of DLT Solutions. Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Diaper bag, check. Bouncy seat, check. Stroller, car seat, bottles, butt wipes, and binky, check, check, and double check. Why it takes 30 pounds of equipment to transport one 12-pound baby, we'll never know. So at Kaiser Permanente, we put everything for baby and you in one place. Everything you need, from obstetricians and nurses to nutritionists and pediatricians. A whole care team of specialists assembled to keep your baby and you in top running order, not running around. And you can even go online with My Health Manager to schedule routine appointments, check most lab results, and exchange emails with your Kaiser Permanente doctor's office. Imagine having a conversation with your pediatrician without having to fold or unfold that stroller. Convenient? Check. Efficient? Check. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.